Welcome back to the Clubhouse. Hour number two off and running. First, before we go any further, I want to thank Jeff Archer at WFXR Fox 2127 for joining us back in the first hour. Always fun chomping it up with Jeff. Got to some basketball and some NASCAR as well. So really appreciate Jeff's time, and we'll talk to him again soon. But as I mentioned, hour number two is going to be a lot of fun because not only now do we have Chris Coleman of Tech Sideline in studio with us, but we also have Will Stewart of Tech Sideline in studio with us for all of hour number two. Again, if you want to get in any questions, we asked you way earlier for them, but feel free to send them to us now as well. Follow Will on Twitter, at WillStewartTSL. Follow Chris on Twitter, at ChrisColemanTSL. Boys, how are we doing?
Doing excellent. How are you?
Yeah?
Doing good. Our master plan to get rid of Kyle and get me back on the air has finally come to fruition.
Finally worked, right?
I sort of even had my radio voice today, too.
Yeah?
Do a little Barry White. All right, I'm ready. Let's go.
Cool, let's do it. Well, you guys are rolling in here in style, man. Top down. It's a beautiful day out, though. I can't argue with that decision right there.
It's April 1st,
yeah.
And there are 5 or 6 months of top-down weather coming. It's going to be
right.
Nice.
I yep. love it. I love it. Well, shall we get to some spring football? Because, well, we got a lot of stuff going on. There's a scrimmage last night. I guess the first thing I'll ask you guys, is there anything – I know that wasn't open to the media at all, but is there any – can we take away anything from that at all?
It depends. Do you have Snapchat on your phone?
Yes. Yes, I do. I haven't gotten the chance to watch it yet today, though. I've been running around. But they actually do a really good job keeping up with that Snapchat.
Actually, I haven't seen it today. Chris borrowed my phone. He refuses to get on Snapchat for, you know, it's not like he's technology phobic or anything like that. It's just,
right.
He's just not going there yet. Because what happens to us is, so we get on these technology platforms for the website. Get on Facebook so we can do the website on Facebook. Get on Twitter so we can do the website on Twitter. And then your friends start finding you. So it's this weird mishmash. And this happens to me on LinkedIn, too, where my friends want to – no, LinkedIn's for business. So,
right.
So it's this weird thing. So I think Chris is avoiding Snapchat.
I don't have Snapchat.
The instant he gets on Snapchat, his friends are going to pile
late,
in on
late last summer, I got Snapchat, and all of a sudden I'm getting 30 Snapchats a day.
Right.
You know, every time I turn around, oh, there's a new Snapchat.
There are people that abuse it.
Just text me.
I know. Well, you can text on Snapchat, too. You know that,
oh,
right?
I know that, but still.
So the interesting thing about Snapchat is I have teenage kids.
Right.
Almost 14, 15, and 17. And if you've been, ever since Facebook came along, all these social media platforms have been the kids, and texting was this also, the kids trying to communicate with each other without their parents knowing about it. And the parents chased them off of Facebook, chased them off of Twitter. The parents have followed them on Instagram. And parents are not following the kids onto Snapchat. Snapchat has this kludgy interface that you open it up and you're like, I don't know what to do now.
Yeah.
So the parents are just kind of going, okay, I'm not going there. So the kids have finally found a place to go where the parents are not following. So
yeah.
That's the interesting thing about Snapchat. But anyway, Chris watched the
Hokie
football stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, mostly they didn't show a whole lot. Showed a long touchdown run by Deshaun McLeese and a long touchdown run by Coleman Fox, and that's it.
Right. Well, Deshaun McLeese was a guy that, you know, we would expect to see more of this season, right? With, you know, McMillan, you'd expect to be the featured back, but we're not really sure how much of, if any, of Marshawn Williams or Shy McKenzie that we're going to see. But Shy McKenzie, I think we talked last week, it looked like he was moving around really well. So it seems like there's some depth at running back.
Yeah, I think so. I like McLeese. I like McLeese in a spread offense. He's not the biggest guy in the world, but he can make a man miss in the hole. I thought he did some good things in the scrimmages I saw him in last August. Shy McKenzie, I thought when he was 100% healthy 2 years ago, he was Virginia Tech's most complete running back. So if he can get back to being 100%, I really like the 1-2 punch that he and Trayvon McMillan can provide. And, you know, if McLeese is ready, then you know, he's capable of getting some reps in there, too. So I think Virginia Tech could have good tailback depth this year, but they also have the potential maybe to have no tailback depth.
Right.
Again, just depends on how some things work out.
Mm-hmm. You got to factor in injuries, of course. Hopefully, God forbid, any happen to Virginia Tech. But talking about Snapchat and how they didn't really show much from that scrimmage, they're not really saying a whole lot about the quarterback battle that's going on right now. And I read your piece, Chris, from earlier this week about why they were keeping it shrouded in secrecy, and it makes a lot of sense. You know, you don't want to – those kids are going to be under a lot of pressure to perform, trying to win the job anyway. So why make it public, I guess, and you know, make it worse? But there's no – I I wouldn't expect to see probably a quarterback name maybe until the summer. Is that reasonable?
Even later? What I'm going to say next, I don't want to sound like a whiny member of the media because I can't stand those guys. But the access to scrimmages and practice, well, access to practice was always limited.
Right.
And Frank, later on in his tenure, started letting the public come in and watch scrimmages. So we're in a situation here where the media isn't really getting to see much of anything, mm-hmm. you know. And there are it's difficult because the fans want to know what's going on, but, you know, we're not seeing it, so we can't pass it on to them. But then if you take the other viewpoint of it as being a fan, one of the things that, you know, if you recall, one of the advantages that Virginia Tech had over Ohio State in that mm-hmm. first meeting was that VT had a new quarterback
right.
in Michael Brewer. They were doing some things offensively, and if I remember correctly, they kept the scrimmages closed. Mm-hmm. So they opened up with William and Mary that year, didn't have to show anything. You
right.
know, they just went out and beat William and Mary on straight-up talent, ran a bunch of simple stuff. So when they went up to Ohio State had no idea what was coming. Mm-hmm. And so it was this combination of Ohio State not knowing the personnel, not having film on the personnel, and the Hokie offense playing a great game
yeah.
that allowed them to hang 28 offensive points and then seven more defensive points. So there's kind of an element of that going on here. If Justin Fuente keeps practices closed and keeps it to himself, Tennessee is not going to know what to expect.
Right.
Now, Tech opens with Furman this year, correct,
mm-hmm.
before they play Tennessee?
Right.
So you're kind of in that similar situation now. Now, Butch Jones has been at Tennessee for a while. He's got the talent coming in. I feel like they're starting. I don't know that crest is the right word I'm looking for, but I think it's going to start to click for them this year.
Yeah,
they're going to be a really, you know, they're being picked to win their half of the SEC by a lot of prognosticators. Tennessee's on the rise, and Virginia Tech is kind of in a rebuilding mode because of the new coaching staff mm-hmm. and installing a new offense, new quarterback, and all that thing.
Right.
So this is a chance. This is one of Virginia Tech's few chances to get some sort of advantage
right.
in a game that's going to have a tremendous amount of visibility.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to roll. You don't want to put all your cards on the table and roll out there and get flat, you know. So from that standpoint, it's got an advantage for them where they're kind of keeping people away from what's going on, keeping it to themselves. So Tennessee's not going to really know what they're going to see. Now, will Fuente continue to do this in subsequent years where the media can't get in and see what's going on, fans can't get in and see what's going on? I don't know. You know, so sorry for the long-winded soliloquy there.
No, no worries.
Just, you know, that's what goes through my mind when we talk about this
stuff.
Yeah,
but the Coach Fuente has kind of had that reputation throughout his coaching career, very brief, albeit, but he doesn't really reveal a whole lot about anything. He doesn't really give a lot of media availability for any of his players. And freshmen weren't allowed to talk to the media anyway, as I
uh-huh.
understand, correct?
That might be the case.
Right. So, but that's a, you know, it's not exactly a big surprise. And like Will said, it can be an advantage for him, especially with Tennessee coming, going to Bristol and playing Tennessee this season. You know, you don't want to give away too much.
I think he got burned by the media at one point. I think I read somewhere where maybe his first year at Memphis gave a decent amount of access, but somebody did something they weren't supposed to. I don't know if that was tweeting from practice maybe or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think something happened in there where he said, okay, you know what? I don't want to deal with this.
Yeah.
You know, I wish it was a little more open, and I certainly understand the beat writers wishing it was more open because, you know, a lot of what they do is dependent upon quotes and things like that where, you know, TSL has been around since 1996. We didn't have a press pass till what, 2012?
Yeah, 2012.
Yeah, we can function without access, really.
Right.
I wish the scrimmages were open, though.
It would be nice. It would just be
for one of them.
Right,
yeah.
right. But because I mean, we're all curious just to see exactly, you know, what Fuente's offense is going to look like. I mean, this is going to be such a different system that Virginia
yeah.
Tech runs.
Well, you know, I don't think I think it's going to be up tempo. From what little I've seen,
right.
it's going to be up-tempo, or at least they would like for it to be up-tempo. They'll figure out exactly how up-tempo they can be by the end of the spring, probably. But it's not like you're going to go out there and see a bunch of formations you've never seen before.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I saw a, quote, flanker screen
right.
on the Snapchat video. So, you know, I think Tech fans probably think no other team in the whole country runs that play.
Right.
But guess what? Most of them do. It's at some point. And so we're going to see some plays we've seen before. You're going to see shotgun handoffs. That's pretty much the only handoffs I saw in what little bit I saw in the Snapchat video. So the terminology, the pace, maybe the route concepts and things like that are going to be different. But to the naked eye, I don't think most people are going to notice much of a difference. Hopefully they'll notice some different results. Hopefully it'll be a better functioning offense. Hopefully it's executed better and things like that. But the actual basics, I don't think, are going to be all that different.
So I have to laugh because I have a deep, deep hatred of the flanker screen. You know,
now you're not the only one.
I go pretty far back. So back in the mid '90s, there were I can remember a flanker screen to Brian Still that went about 80 yards for a touchdown. Right. Michael Stewie had one. They just popped it right out there. You get one block, boom, you're gone. I remember Eugene Chung back when he played offensive line for Tech. He could get out. He was very athletic. And he could get out there in the flanker screen and just annihilate defensive backs. But, you know, that was 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. And the flanker screens of the more modern times are just disasters. They're poorly blocked. The receiver catches the ball, turns to face the line of scrimmage, gets mowed over. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just a horrible play. So I did tune in to watch Memphis's game against Ole Miss last year, you know, where Memphis pulled the big upset. Mm-hmm. Now, I got to the game late, so Memphis already had the lead. And they were throwing some flanker screens, and I was just rolling my eyes like, no. And the announcer was complaining about it, going, I don't understand why they're going lateral against this fast Ole Miss defense, you know. And so I don't know. You'd have to ask Coach Fuente about that. But, man, my hatred of the flanker screen is strong.
Unless you're playing Tulsa.
Right. Isaiah Ford broke one. We did see that.
Oh, but I think any play will work against Tulsa.
It seemed like
I was looking for a way to say it.
just one more quick thing, though. I mean, it would seem like Virginia Tech has the personnel to run an up-tempo offense. You know, McMillan is very shifty, and Isaiah Ford, we can see what these guys can do in space, even Bucky. And whoever's under center is going to be mobile, too, whether it's Gerard Evans, Dwayne Lawson, or Brendan Motley. You'd assume that those are the three front runners, and all three of those guys can move the ball with their legs, too.
Yeah, I think so. I think they've got the personnel from a starting standpoint. You want to develop more wide receiver depth, mm-hmm. I think, because, you know, if you're getting off plays every 15 seconds and you're asking the same wide receivers to run routes on every single play as hard as they can and block as hard as they can every single play, I mean, that's a lot of running. And I don't know if you're going to be able to do that or not. So it's critical that they develop some wide receiver depth.
Well, and there's just a lot of offensive depth that's needed in general. I think Chris studied what Fuente did at TCU. Mm-hmm. He was offensive coordinator down there. And there were years where he used two and three and even four running backs a lot. He really spread the carries around. So it gets back earlier into the conversation about running back depth. Mm-hmm. One guy definitely isn't enough. Two guys might not be enough. You might need more than that. But having said that, Fuente knows that. He knows his personnel, and they will adjust. And he might not be able to run everything he wants to run the way he wants to run it, but he'll do some good stuff, and he'll get there over time.
Yeah, we'll see how it all shapes out as the summer draws near and spring practice continues to roll on. We will step aside, take a break. When we come back, we'll get to some of your questions. So keep it locked to Super Sports 101.7.